SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, February 5th, episode 120. Let's get right into our tip-off topic. With the NBA trade deadline roughly 24 hours away, the big news of the day is the big dominoes and when do they drop. And the biggest domino is Kevin Durant. Right before recording began, Shams Charania and Chris Haynes both came out with statements about Kevin Durant, likely the fact that Golden State was trying to make a run at KD. And basically, he does not want to return to that organization. Along with the fact that now what's coming out is Kevin Durant either going to go to Miami or stay in Phoenix. And it sets up a fascinating thing because now you have to now tie Jimmy Butler into this. Two older superstars towards the end of their career, both when they're engaged, and I never have to worry about that with KD, let's be honest, really effective players in this league. And it sets up an interesting dynamic of why KD did not want to go back to Golden State. Come on, everybody. When KD was in Golden State last time, he was the best player on the team. He won finals MVP. Didn't matter. It was Steph's team. So now he's going to go back to Golden State again and deal with that same again? So if they make another run, it's going to be about Steph and not KD. People have to realize that KD is very big into his legacy. And I think he knows that his legacy took a hit going to Golden State. He wants to make his own mark. And whether that's in Phoenix, whether that's in Miami, whether that's somewhere else, it doesn't seem right for him to go back. Now, this leads to Jimmy Butler. If you're Pat Riley, we've talked about this numerous times, you can let the contract just play out and Jimmy Butler become an unrestricted free agent. And let's be honest, it's not the Nets. No one's going to give him a maximum contract. So if you're Riley and you've been underwhelmed by offers, you have to wait and you have to get something that's of substance to you. Bradley Beal does not do that for Pat Riley unless he moves Bradley Beal somewhere else. Kevin Durant does. And that sets up an interesting domino between those two. Simply put, this is a crazy time in the NBA. We saw the trade last weekend for Luka for AD. You're going to have to watch out on social media in the next on Thursday afternoon, because I still think there's going to be other dominoes to fall. What happens with Brandon Ingram? What happens with a guy like, can Lonzo Ball get moved? What happens with Valanciunas? All the centers in the market. Do the Knicks make a move, right? Does Utah try to get rid of some of their older players, right? What happens with Atlanta? What happens with a guy like DeAndre Hunter? All of these things are going to come into the forefront. Make sure you follow me on social media at Coach Young NJ and follow SportsGrid for our coverage of the NBA trade deadline, which will be obviously ending at 4 o'clock or 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Thursday. But one trade that did come in that made people scratch their heads is a trade of Chris Middleton to the Washington Wizards for Kyle Kuzma. So you're like, wait, Middleton got traded where? For who? Okay, for Milwaukee's sake, it makes sense. They're trying to win now and build towards the future. You got to look at guys like Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, older guys towards the end of their career. And what can you get in return? Kuzma as a number three scoring option, I'm going to be honest, folks, is damn good. It's damn good. He can shoot the ball, catch one dribble, shoot. So putting him as a third option with Giannis and Dame makes sense. Doesn't make them better defensively, but it does make them younger. And a Kyle Kuzma that has scored really well in this league for a long time, it does make sense. For Washington's sake, not so much. Maybe Middleton gets flipped. Maybe they buy him out. I think maybe Middleton had 1 year less on his deal than Kuzma. So that could be the reason why that happened. But it's one of those things where Milwaukee's trying to balance win now, win later. Because at the end of the day, they have to keep someone like Giannis happy. Trade happened yesterday. Caleb Martin from the 76ers to the Mavs for Quentin Grimes. This is another trade that actually makes sense for both teams. Caleb Martin is a 3-and-D guy. Playoff experience. You saw what he did at Miami with the Miami Heat. Bring that toughness, that energy that they need, and fortifies that bench. So Dallas, which we talked about winning the AD Luka trade short term, is now putting all their eggs in the basket now. Grimes is good. Grimes had a good year this year for Dallas, particularly once Luka got hurt. But they needed someone with playoff experience. Caleb Martin fits that bill. For Philadelphia, they get rid of a contract. Let's see what happened with Paul George. That's another domino that may drop in the next 24 hours. But now Grimes, Maxey, McCain, younger guards. And a Quentin Grimes has bounced himself. I think this is, honestly, this could be his fourth team in the last 18 months. If I'm not mistaken, Knicks, Detroit, Dallas, Philly. I've seen enough of Quentin Grimes to tell you that he's a good pro. He can shoot the ball really well. And maybe this could be a long-term landing spot for him. Quickly, another trade. Daniel Theis gets traded from New Orleans to Oklahoma City. Folks, this is about two things. Number one, Hartenstein is hurt again. Chet's been out. This is protection. This is another big, can block shots, can stretch the floor, pretty good passer. So it makes sense to get another big to help out in case guys are hurt, like Hartenstein and Holmgren. But also, it keeps him away from other teams. Maybe the Lakers. Maybe the Knicks. Other teams that are looking in that center market. So look out for guys like Capella, Valanciunas, Kessler, so on and so forth. Let's get to the college game real quickly before we get to commercial break. St. John's 70-64 over Marquette. Folks, the record of St. John's in league. I heard this by our buddy John Fanta. Best record since ready? 84-85. What does that mean, folks, kids? That's the last time St. John's made it to the Final Four with Louis Carney II, God bless his soul, we lost coach in the last couple of months, and Chris Mullin as a star. St. John's is primed to make a run. They're fabulous defensively. And I've told people on this network time and time again, when Kadari Richmond plays, he's a difference maker. And he's been a huge difference maker for St. John's. Folks, the Garden will be rocking during the Big East tournament. And there will be a big game we'll preview later between St. John's and UConn. Quickly, Kentucky. They've lost a couple of games in a row. Folks, don't panic with Kentucky. This league is loaded. Chris Beard is one of the 10 best coaches in the country. But your concern with Kentucky is going to be on the defensive end. Mark Pope's team has to defend better. But I'll tell you this much. Anybody in the SEC is going to be battle tested. So they got to shore up their defense. They got to get healthy. But that SEC tournament is going to be another must-see event coming up in March, in which an NCAA tournament, folks, that I think is going to be sheer mayhem. I know Auburn's undefeated. I know Duke may run the table in the ACC. But March is March, and you just got to be better than another team for 40 minutes, not the whole season. Coming back up after the commercial break, we'll break down the Big Ten. We'll look at the favorites and who could get it done. We'll look at a team like Nebraska. Can Freddie Hoiberg's team make a run to the NCAA tournament? We'll take a look at what teams go over and under their win total. And we will be back with our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 120. And let's get into our award tour where we break down the futures market today, focusing on college basketball. And with the season coming down to a halt soon, we wanted to find a race that was intriguing, right? Intriguing in regards to movement and really no clear favorite. No better conference to do it than the Big Ten. If you look at December 30th, UCLA was top at 4-1 along with Michigan. Michigan State was 5.5-1, Maryland 6.5-1, Purdue 7-1, Illinois 8-1, Oregon 10-1, Ohio State 20-1 with Penn State and Indiana at 50-1. Lord have mercy, done things changed in the Big Ten. Because as of today, Purdue is your leader in the clubhouse at plus 120. Michigan State is at plus 250, 3-1 to Michigan, and then a big drop off, 19-1 for Maryland, 23-1 for UCLA. They had that rough stretch. Remember, McCroy was getting all fired up about it, going east so many times. And then 26-1 to Illinois and Wisconsin. Folks, those are two teams, if I'm not mistaken, that are in the top 25, and they're sitting at 26-1. So when you pull up the records, right? It's pretty simple to see why it is what it is, right? Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan are all at two losses. So now it comes down to who do you think is the best team? I don't know if I want to go to best team, but I'm going to go with the best coach. I like Michigan State at 2.5-1. People have talked about Izzo and what he's done. And if you look at the schedule, here's the key thing. They have two losses, folks. Oregon, home, win. Indiana, home, win. At Illinois, tough. But here's the key. They have two games left with Michigan, home and away, then home to end of regular season, and Purdue's got to come to them. Wisconsin's got to come to them. The road games, like I said, Illinois, which would be tough, at Michigan will be tough. At Maryland, who I don't believe in as much as people do, right? And at Iowa. So to me, their schedule lines up in a way that I think they could win the Big Ten. Now, my producer, Matty George, who does a great job, he likes Michigan at 3-1. Well, why does he like Michigan at 3-1? Because if you think that the best coach in the league is Tom Izzo, then I think Matt will agree with me. The second best coach in the league is Dusty May. Shout out to Indiana for not firing Mike Woodson last year and not hiring Dusty May last year. You done missed it. So where's Michigan State's schedule? Or Michigan's schedule, right? At Oregon, I'm home Oregon, win. At Indiana, win. They get Purdue at home as well. They get Michigan State twice. They get Rutgers to come to them. They get Nebraska. We'll talk about them in a little bit. But they also get Illinois and Maryland at home. So they have a pretty favorable schedule as well because Purdue's got to go to both places, and I can see Purdue losing at Michigan and at Michigan State. So really quick, where does Purdue line up with their schedule at 10-2? One game ahead in regards to wins, same amount of losses, right? They have to go at Michigan, home Wisconsin, at Michigan State, at Indiana, home UCLA, home Rutgers, at Illinois. They have the toughest schedule out of three. Right now, Michigan State 2.5-1, Michigan 3-1, in order to, I would say, to win the conference tournament. Let's move on to a team in the Big Ten that's intriguing, and that's Freddie Hoiberg's team in Nebraska. When you look at Nebraska, folks, you're like, wait a minute, coach, wait. They had 7 losses in the league. They're 5.5 games out. Folks, hear me out. Oregon, 6 losses. Ohio State, 6 losses. USC, 6 losses. Indiana, they're done. 7 losses. Iowa, they're done. 7 losses. Rutgers, biggest disappointment in college basketball because they didn't surround Harper and Ace Bailey. 7 losses. Nebraska, 7 losses. Everybody ahead of them is going to get in. It's one spot. It's one spot that could be in line, and I think 8 teams come out of the Big Ten. But the schedule, folks, the schedule at Washington should be a win. Home Ohio State, home Maryland, at Northwestern, at Penn State, home Michigan, Minnesota, at Ohio State, Iowa. They have the easiest schedule of all those teams left. Nebraska Cornhuskers, plus 154 to make the NCAA tournament. Sadly, that means my talk earlier this year about Penn State, they may not make the NCAA tournament. Lastly, there's a intriguing market that came out that's on FanDuel with over-under win totals in league. And there's Kentucky at 9.5 wins. Louisville, yeah, Louisville. Pat Kelsey, shout out to him, 16.5 wins. Michigan, 14.5. Iowa State, 14.5. So if you believe Matty George, and I trust him, that should be one you should look at right now, because we talked about their schedule, and they have to get, I think it's like 6-7 more wins. The one to look out for is Louisville, 16.5. You're like, wait a minute. They got to get like 7 more wins. That league sucks. It's terrible. It's Duke and the Dukettes. I think I just made up a word. Not Duquesne, Dukettes. I don't know if that's funny or not, but I thought it was. Their rest of the league is not good. Iowa State, T.J. Osterberger, I love T.J. They're struggling. Kentucky, they're falling. Louisville over 16.5. Michigan over 14.5 are my two picks to go over their win total. And I'm just going to stay away from Kentucky and Iowa State, because I think those two are going to be razor, 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 razor close. Coming up after the commercial break, we'll get into our scouting report. We'll preview a huge game in the Big East between St. John's and UConn on Friday night. And then Duke, this is the triple spot. Will they lose at Little John Fieldhouse versus Clemson? And then we get into Florida versus Auburn. And then the big one in the Mecca, Saturday night, Boston Knicks. We'll come back and we'll talk about all those games with our scouting report after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 120. It's time to get into our scouting report, where we preview the top games in the NBA and college basketball. It's going to be college basketball heavy focus, because there are some powerhouse matchups coming up between now and Saturday night. And we're going to lead off with the game tipping off Friday night, as Rick Pitino and St. John's, fresh off a big win at home last night at the Garden versus Marquette, head up the Gamble to take on Coach Hurley and the UConn Huskies. And this game is going to have major ramifications of the Big East. St. John's is 11-1. They've won 9 games in a row. They're one of the hottest teams in college basketball. They're right now the favorites to win the Big East regular season title. By the way, I told everyone that was going to happen. Minus 170. And I told everyone that was going to happen. But this is a trip-up spot here because of going and playing Coach Hurley. So what do we look at? Folks, if you got a Pitino team and you got a guy named Hurley, that means defense. That means defense. So the average over-under from St. John's is at 147.9. UConn is at 144.2. We saw this last night with St. John's game, with Marquette being at like in 140, I think 148.5, and it got into 130s. I expect the same thing. I got the 134. I expect the same thing. If they hang that thing at 144.5, take the under, folks. This is going to be a game that's going to be predicated on defense. Defense, 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 because that's how both of those guys are built. Let's head to the ACC. Duke, we've talked about it. Can they run the table in the ACC? Remember, folks, I gave you 3 games in which I thought they could possibly get tripped up. Well, the Carolina game at Duke did not happen. But this was the game we were worried about. It's the number one team in the ACC, Duke, at 11-0, taking on 10-2 Clemson. Folks, I look at this game and I just look at the play of Cooper Flagg and the play of this, the way that Duke has played, particularly on the defensive end of the floor, and you look at the schedule that Clemson has played, losing only two games. Folks, they just lost at Georgia Tech and they gave up 89 points. So, and it's three overtimes. And David Stoudemire is doing a great job. But I can't take them. I can't take Clemson, even at home in that spot. Maybe they're looking ahead. But that game was also at Little John Fieldhouse. I look at Duke's ability to score. Look, the flip side. I think they're going to be able to score enough. It will be a close spread. Duke minus a point to win at Little John. Another big game. Now we're going to go to the SEC. Florida, Auburn. Fireworks. Auburn, another team, trying to run the table. I do think they may lose the game in league, but I don't think it's this one. The play of Jahni Broome, the way that they defend, the way that that Bruce Pearl is, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Auburn minus the points. Last game, here we go. Boston and Knicks. Knicks are playing really good basketball. You got to be concerned about the injury to OG Anunoby. Boston just comes off a win at Cleveland. I think these are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. I don't care about records. This game, it's going to be a slugfest. And I know both teams are the two best teams offensively. So the two best offensive teams, I'm taking the under in the game between Boston and the Knicks. Let's get to our buzzer beater. And Joel Embiid returned last night and was fantastic. First game since January 4th, scoring 29 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, and a triple-double victory over Dallas. And I talked about this when I was on air with Joe Ranieri, that I liked Philadelphia on the money line. Folks, I've said this over and over again. Philadelphia 76ers are going to make the playoffs because of that man. He will find a way to get them there. The problem with them is not getting there. It's how long he makes it there. He's that much of a difference maker. Shout out to Joel Embiid coming back. Philadelphia 76ers are still making the playoffs. Mark my words. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 120 for February 5th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny, who does a great job with the graphics, thank you for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Night.